Good afternoon. I'm going to continue on talking about invasive plant microbial interactions. I'm going to focus on arbuscular mycorrhizal fungi. This study was, I should acknowledge my co-authors, Dick Gephardt from Searle and Mark Patchkin and Mary Stromberger from Colorado State. This is looking at how native weeds interact with an AMF community from an invaded soil. And for the background, plant AMF interactions are highly variable. You have plant species that are selective for AMF species, AMF species that prefer certain plant species. You know that invasive species alter the AMF community. So very complex interactions. So the goal of this research was to see, when you have an invaded community, whatever alterations have occurred, how do the interactions between native weedy plants interact with the AMF community that is left? Specifically testing the hypothesis that the responsiveness of plant species to AM fungi is not an indicator of the response of AMF to the plant host. Generally, people think of AMF as being a mutualistic interaction. That is not always the case. You can go from parasitic to mutualistic and anywhere in between. So another Camp Guernsey study selected a highly disturbed area at Camp Guernsey. Historically was a sagebrush grassland converted to crested wheatgrass, which is another introduced grass, subsequently invaded by cheatgrass and Japanese brome, which is closely related to cheatgrass. Not much of a native component remains. It's been under the influence of invasives for a long time, introduced plants. So I selected 8 random 18-liter soil samples in May of last year. The soils were thoroughly composited. Then I divided them into 2 treatments, the AMF plus and the AMF minus. AMF minus, the soils were autoclaved on consecutive days to sterilize them. Then took an aliquot of the AMF plus soil, filtered it through Wattman number 1 to exclude the AMF community but re-inoculate the rest of the microbes, more or less. Put 10 milliliters of that in each pot, and then selected 17 host species, sterilized the seeds, seeded that in each of 5 pots for each of the 2 soil treatments. Here are the host species. Generally in grasslands and shrublands, the forbs make up the greatest amount of the richness, but have the least density. So I wanted to reflect that. Selected a whole bunch of forbs, a lot of phylogenetic diversity, threw in cheatgrass for comparison. I also selected 2 perennial C3 grasses. These 2 grasses have been shown to be able to persist and recolonize areas after cheatgrass is invaded. Also added a perennial C4 grass and the historic climax dominant big sagebrush. So after 4 months of growth in the greenhouse, I collected the shoot biomass, measured plant relative responsiveness, mean shoot biomass of the AMF plus treatment minus the mean shoot biomass of the AMF minus treatment divided by mean shoot biomass of the AMF plus. Times 100 gives you a percent plant responsiveness. I then took a subsample of each AMF plus root for percent colonization of each host, and then took the remaining roots and soil material from the AMF plus reps, combined them, and then put them in different pots, reseeded them with sterile Sudan grass seed, and did a infection potential assay to look at what impacts the host, that particular host, had on the AMF density in that soil. And then after 30 days, looked at colonization of those roots. So basically, I had 5 reps of each soil type for each plant. Took the shoot material for the plant relative responsiveness. Took a small subsample of the AMF plus for root colonization. And took the rest of the AMF plus root and soil material for the AMF density study. And then it was relative or percent colonization of the roots of the Sudan grass growing in there. For statistical analysis, I used t-test for plant responsiveness. I compared AMF plus and AMF minus for each species at an alpha of 0.05. For the AMF density, I used analysis of variance at an alpha of 0.05. compared all host treatments versus the initial soil density using Tukey's honestly significant different tests. Here's an example of a positive response. There are little plants growing in there. They're not very big. This is, AMF plus, AMF minus. This is Lewis flax. It was the most responsive. Here's Sandburg bluegrass. It was the most negatively responsive. And then there's cheatgrass, a typical no response. And here are the results of both of the studies. The green bars are the plant responsiveness. Over here is percent relative responsiveness of the plants. There were six species that had a significant positive response, six species that had a significant negative response. The six positive response species, five of them were perennial forbs. The other one was the C4 grass, perennial C4 grass. I should also mention that CS, this is Cleome cereulata, it is a non-mycorrhizal plant. I added it to have a control, make sure everything was the way it should look, and that's exactly where a non-mycorrhizal plant should be. It should not be responsive. The negatively responsive plants, Poa secunda and Ilomus ilomoides, the two C3 grasses, negatively responsive, and then the other ones are annual, biennial, and short-lived forbs. The non-responsive plants had Sphaeralcia, which is a perennial forb, big sagebrush, the shrub, and then another annual forb, cheatgrass, and then the AMF response. This is the AMF percent colonization of assay roots on this axis. There were six species that had a significant positive response. I should mention, this INI here is the initial initial density in the soil. When I took the soil samples, I started a separate bioassay with Sudan grass to know what was initially in the soil at the site. It was very low. The control, CON, when I started the plant responsiveness study, I had five refs that I did not seed with anything. I wanted to compare what happens when you don't have a host for 4 months versus all of the hosts, and there was a drop versus the initial. These stars indicate a significant positive response, significantly higher than the initial AMF density in the soil. It was Aristida purpurea, the C4 grass, Retibida columnifera, Sphaeralcia coccinea, they're both perennial forbs. Then you had Ilomus ilomoides, perennial C3 grass, Coreopsis, an annual forb, and then Onothera pallida, which is a biennial forb. The most interesting result is that two of these six themselves were positively responsive to the AMF community, two of the six were non-responsive, and two of the six were themselves negatively responsive. You could not call all of these mutualisms. You could call, in fact, only two of them. You could call some of them parasitisms, some of them commensalisms. Highly diverse responses, highly diverse interactions between the plants and the AMF. This is percent colonization of the roots. This is generally no correlation to anything else you see. It's just a standard that you pretty much have to do if you want to publish it. The ones that had the highest AMF response generally had high root colonization, but then you have a few down here, and then you have Onothera cespitosa that really didn't have any effect on the AMF, but yet was very highly infected. I went back. It would have been nice to know initially what species effects were going on. So you have an AMF community. There are multiple species in there. You have one plant. It may prefer one AMF species over another. There are going to be interactions going on. I didn't separate species versus species. It was species versus community. I'm going to go back and do that now. But I went back, collected soil samples from the site this fall, and got seven species, which is fairly diverse. You generally see from 4 to 12 in any given area. The majority of these are cosmopolitan species. You could go out into any number of sites and find them, except for this one that I'm not sure what it is yet. So in conclusion, I failed to reject my hypothesis that plant response is not an indicator of AMF response. They were all over the place. They were there was no correlation between the two. The introduced species interaction was not significant. The late successional species interaction was not significant. And the native early and mid-successional species interactions were highly variable. In a successional context, the plant feedbacks are probably not as important as the AMF feedbacks. Nobody really cares if Western ragweed or another weed is doing really well at a site. But if a weed such as that can alter the AMF community in the soil to where it is a negative feedback on the invader and produces a positive feedback on some desirable plant, that's the important aspect of this and something that should be focused on. And you have species such as Onothera pallida. They're never very common. They don't grow very big. They're not a weed. They're just here and there. They could function as a nexus species. They could come into a site, have a huge impact on the AMF community, alter it in such a way that results in its replacement. It disappears. No one's ever going to know the important role that it played in structuring that community. So I think this is definitely an area that needs to be pursued, focusing on the microbial end of it and not so much on the plant end, because like we just saw, they're very important in these interactions. So are there any questions? Yes.
So, you know, the striking thing is that response of POA, the negative response, and is your what do you make of that? And in particular, what do you make of the fact that this was an invasive dominated community that you got these AMF from? And, you know, do you consider that the POA's response may reflect parasitic effects of an AMF community that was shaped by an invasive plant community? Or do you have some other thought about it?
It's hard to know. The grasses, I didn't want to focus on them as much because you can pretty much guess what they're going to do. C4 grasses are highly dependent on AMF. Most of them won't grow. Big blue stem, if it's not inoculated, it won't grow. It'll die. The C3 grasses, you can generally never get a response out of them. There's a lot of speculation as to why that is. But they do show growth responses, or negative growth responses. But one, that negative, I'm not sure what happened. You saw the picture. It really did not like what was in that AMF plus treatment. So.
So I guess my suggestion is that if you were to look at an AMF community from an attacked natural, you know, from a plant community where you had that POA, you know, that would help you understand what was going on.
And that's what I want to do. I want to compare, so what are the responses in an invaded community versus an uninvaded community? Because are you going to see the same things, or is there an alteration significant enough that you're seeing different effects of these weedy species? Because weedy species are adapted to disturb soils. You disturb a soil, you're not just disturbing the plants, you're disturbing the soil microbial community. And so these weedy plants, they have to come into these, you know, that's what their niche is. So I don't know if it's, regardless of what's there, they're going to do all right, or if there are side effects that you're going to find, or AMF community effects.
I should just break in here. If anyone wants to ask a question, feel free. We're going to take a short break after Ryan's done. We're going to start again at 2:45. Standing Weed Bowl is going to be talking about some transient insect invasions. So if you need to run to the bathroom or anything, go ahead. But please continue to ask questions if you have any. Actually, I have one question.
Oh, okay.
So one thing about AMF is, you know, it's own living community. It's competing and so forth. If you were to spray AMF or so forth into these fields, would it have any effect a year later?
That's a hotly debated. There are a lot of commercial inoculants out there. A lot of studies have shown that there's nothing viable in those. Other studies have shown that what you're getting are the species that are easiest to grow, which are generally not the best ones for plants. Other studies have shown that even if you get anything at a site, it doesn't persist very long because it's not adapted to local conditions. So that's kind of the reason why I wanted to do this study too, because it is really difficult to completely destroy an AMF community in a soil. You can knock it back, you can do, you know, a lot of damage to it, but you can't you can't do a non-mycorrhizal control in the field. You have to keep spraying it and spraying it and spraying it with a now restricted fungicide, and that just stops the growth. That doesn't even kill it. So I think if you can work with what's there, they're adapted, they're already there. If you can get the plant species to work with that AMF community, I think you're much better off than trying to bring something in with generally unfavorable results. Yes?
On that note, I know that, you know, mycorrhizae are sensitive, like nitrogen fixtures are sensitive to nitrogen available in soil. Mycorrhizae are sensitive to phosphorus available in soil. Have you thought about doing phosphorus amending to shift this?
I think you would end up selecting for the least desirable species. Some of the work that's been done in California with the nitrogen deposition in the sagebrush brushlands, you know, out east of the coast, when you get all that nitrate deposition, you're selecting for the weedier AMF, and you're losing some diversity, and that actually favors red brome, which, you know, is the same as cheatgrass and invades the shrublands and burns.
But maybe interesting, like you found a highly dispersed system in what he was talking about just a moment ago about looking at an intact native system. If you could find a system like that where you could do some manipulations with phosphorus emission and see if you start to get an AMF community more similar to the before, it would be, you know, a step next to getting back on the field.
Yeah, there are a lot of directions to go. Thanks.